When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Hour number two, Bart and Han, Alan Hall, Bart Scott, 98.7 ESPN. 800-919-3776, the number. We'll get the calls rolling here with you in a moment. It's Leap Day, February 29th. Final day of Black History Month, Bart. And you remember the reference I was making to the skit that Eddie Murphy did? Bart?
I'm here, bro.
Yeah, honest. I asked you a question.
You said, remember what?
Do you remember I was referencing Eddie Murphy?
Yeah, yeah.
Doing a bit of a parody, but like not really. Like some of it was kind of true.
Yeah, yeah. George Washington Carver,
right? That's what I said. Like for us, for me growing up, there wasn't a lot of history where you understood it. All you knew about was like, you know, George Washington Carver was one name that always came to me as like, oh, great inventor, right? And it always brings me back to this skit. A little bit of irony here, but still funny, from Eddie Murphy from SNL.
What's that you're putting on your bed? And Carver says, oh, that's nothing but a butter substitute that I make from peanuts. I can't digest all that animal fat, you know. So the other fella tastes it and he says, this tastes pretty good, man. Mind if we take a peek at the recipe? And Dr. Carver says, take a peek. Man, you can have it. Who's going to eat butter made out of peanuts? No, I'm working on the method to compress peanuts into phonograph needles. So Dr. Carver's two dinner guests, Edward Skippy Williamson and Frederick Jip Armstrong, two white men, stole George Washington Carver's recipe for peanut butter, copyrighted it, and reaped untold fortunes from it. While Dr. Carver died penniless and insane, still trying to play a phonograph record with a peanut.
Come on, man. It's like one of the best skits ever. Why am I laughing and you're not?
No, I am laughing, man. I'm trying to figure out who Skippy was. So Skippy, Jif, what's the best peanut butter out there? That's what I'm trying to figure out. Like, people out there, like, who got George Washington Carver right?
You mean who perfected it?
Yeah, who perfected it? Who we going to give credit to?
I got to be honest with you.
That Peter Pan stuff is crap.
No, that's not real. I've always been a Skippy brand
Skippy?
Guy. Yeah.
Oh, because it's smooth.
No, I like actually chunky peanut butter. Look at how fast Jacob ran to the record button. Couldn't wait. He had to get to it. But yeah, that's always been my. But you know what I've discovered? You ever go to Whole Foods and you can just make your own?
Yeah, you make it. It's not sweet though. You can tell they add a bunch of sugar to it because
no, they don't do anything.
I'm saying real.
Peanut butter, yes,
super sweet. Like when you get it like that, it's not sweet.
It's so good.
It's a little oilier too.
It's so good. I get every time I go there, I'll get that. And see, the Whole Foods are also like Uncle Giuseppe's on the island. They make it, and you make it yourself. And one time I did it, and I swear I didn't know you like. When do you let go of the button? I don't know. So I let go of the button a little late, and it just starts just overflow. Like, it won't stop. It's like Lucy at the chocolate factory where it just keeps coming. I have no idea what to do with the rest of this stuff. Now I have no more containers to start grabbing the pouring out of. I make almond butter and I make peanut butter. It makes a big mess. But it's delicious. So...
Listen, peanut butter might be one of the greatest inventions that there ever was. The fact that you can make it and it substitutes as meat. You know what I'm saying? Like you get full like meat.
So good. Can I ask you a question though about George Washington Carver?
Yeah, absolutely.
Why George Washington Carver? Why not just George Carver?
Every black person got a middle name.
Yeah, but why did we have like? Why does that be George Washington Carver? Why can't it just be George Carver? Like, it's a lot. Like, did he want, like, did people say, no, This boy's middle name is Washington.
It's probably more distinguished that way.
Is that what it was? It was just to give it a little something extra.
Look. Because look what happens. Like Betty Sue. What the hell is that about then?
Huh? Who's Betty Sue?
Exactly.
Ah, but then when you do what? What do you add to it that makes it better?
Right. That's what I'm saying. You put a little bit more. You know, a little bit more emphasis on it. You know what I mean? But
her name is now Betty Lincoln Sue, and now all of a sudden you're paying attention?
It's more distinguished. It's
Betty Roosevelt. Betty Roosevelt Sue. Oh, wait a minute. That sounds like somebody important. It's just funny when you hear George Washington Carver, and you just, huh? Who? That's all.
George Washington.
You're
Carver,
really
Washington,
into this.
Washington was a real dude. You know what I'm saying?
Was George Carver.
Because George Washington, you know what I'm saying? So, like, they're like, oh, man, what's that?
Oh, it caught your attention, you're saying? Could you start with those first two names? Now you go, who?
Exactly.
And you had Carver, you're like, wait,
George Washington.
Wait, that's like a knockoff
Carver.
Brand.
Like, hold on. No, he's black George Washington.
Yeah, that's the knockoff brand. Hang on a second. That's not who you thought it was. Oh, do you want to explain then, Dino?
Yeah, Wikipedia actually has something about it. It says, during his time spent in Minneapolis, there was another George Carver in town.
Oh.
Which caused confusion with the mail.
Ah, so this goes back to the whole real McCoy.
Caused confusion with the mail.
So he just chose a random initial, no. W, and was asked one time if the W stood for Washington.
No, he didn't.
And he said, why not?
That's great.
Because it's according to Wikipedia, so I don't know.
I want that to be true. I don't care. It just sounds too funny for it to not be true. That is perfect. Yeah, sure. W. Washington.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, close enough.
And now, now in history, we call him George Washington.
It probably was William. And you're like, yeah, whatever.
Or it was nothing. He just put the W in there one day for wins. Anyways, 800.
That's why the real McCoy was made, right? Because it was so fake that people were coming stuff and they were bootlegging his stuff. So he had to stamp it the real McCoy. Now people don't realize where that saying comes from, but that's where it comes from. The real McCoy.
So when people say something's the real McCoy, there was actually originally a real McCoy.
No. It was somebody else that was trying to say Steve something. And then it was like, it's just a real McCoy because it was like bootleg stuff. You know what I mean? You got everybody out there bootlegging people's stuff. Hmm. So they made it the real McCoy. He said,
He was an inventor in Canada called Elijah McCoy.
Right.
And he had many different inventions, including the ironing board and a lawn sprinkler. Other companies copied his devices, but they never worked as well.
Right.
So
people
Elijah's,
didn't know who they're buying.
They would say, make sure it's a real McCoy.
Right, right.
And so that's where the phrase came from.
Exactly.
Look how much we're learning today.
Just think.
Was Elijah McCoy black?
No, he white. He was white.
That would have been a good Black History Month moment right there.
But he made the ironing board, but the black man made the iron.
All right, so there you go.
See, working together in harmony. To play the piano, you need the black keys and the white keys.
And ivory. So you've always been a Daniel Jones fan, right?
Yeah, I think he's like, you know, he's put in a tough situation.
But you've always been a fan. Like, you believe in him.
Yeah, but I don't think that he'll be able to prove it here.
You don't think he'll be able to prove it here?
No, because now he's with a different regime. He played one good year with them.
Well,
and
here's
after that he.
Well, you know, yeah, 2 years ago he started to show that potential. Last year, of course,
setback.
The injuries happened again, and so the concerns were there. Offensive line was a disaster. He really doesn't have much weapon wise to throw to, but of course he's the quarterback, and so everybody's going to blame him.
Exactly, he has carries.
And now the Giants have a high draft pick in a quarterback draft, and the sense is, they've got to take a quarterback. That's the feeling. Joe Shane, Pro Football Talk, he talked about the need for a backup plan at quarterback while Daniel Jones is recovering.
The reality is he's coming off three injuries in 2 years, and
right.
Everybody, that's facts. So it's something we got to consider, and you know, we're going to address it through free agency, and if there's an opportunity in the draft, we're going to look at every position, not only quarterback, we're going to look across the board because we do have needs across the roster.
Well, that's, again, you're supposed to say that. We have needs everywhere, but we all know that in a quarterback draft, when you have a top 10 pick, everybody's going to wonder, should you take a quarterback there? Dan Orlovsky on Get Up said they absolutely should be planning for life after Daniel Jones.
The Giants should absolutely be planning for life post Daniel Jones in regards to both his ability to play and his ability or his availability. He's missed a ton of games over the last 4 or 5 seasons because of injury, and he's taken a ton of hits. And we talk about, I remember having the conversation, and I was somebody a little blind to it in regards to Lamar and the hits that he was going to take and the, you know, as a running quarterback. Daniel Jones has taken just as many hits as Lamar did early on in his football career, and those have added up. And his play hasn't warranted that total confidence for the future. So I would love that. I don't think Drake May is going to be there at 6, but I would love that.
Drake May is somebody that Darren Orlovsky's hoping the Giants might be able to make a move for. You know who disagrees with him? Bart.
Who disagrees with you?
With Dan.
A lot of people there, because a lot of people think Jaden Daniels is the real steal.
Well, Dan thinks he should be number one. That's what Dan thinks. Dan thinks he might be better than Caleb Williams.
That usually happens, right? Yeah. Everybody was trying to argument last year was Bryce Young versus C.J. Stroud, and somebody's always going to be right.
Well, Mel Kiper Jr. disagrees about Drake May over Daniel Jones, and to the guys this morning on DNR, he said as much.
I'm higher on Daniel than everybody. I guess everybody else. I don't know. I haven't heard many people rave about Daniel Jones. I'm not raving about him, but I think he's a really good quarterback in this league, a solid quarterback in this league, and who has been unfairly criticized. And we've kind of forgotten what he did a few years ago when he got hurt, not because of anything he could do. You get injured because your supporting cast was not very good. But I'm moving forward with Daniel Jones. He's not 38 years old. He's not at the end of his career. He's not in the middle of his career. He's entering the prime of his career. So I don't think I'll say this. I don't see what Drake May brings to the table that Daniel Jones doesn't. I really don't. I watched Drake May. I don't know if people out there have studied. Drake May had a rough end of the season. If you watch Drake May play college football against Virginia, NC State, and Clemson, you would say, I don't really think this guy's our guy. So go back and watch those games. If you think he's better than Daniel Jones after those 3 games, then more power to you.
So if you go back and you watch Daniel Jones' last 3 games at Duke, what would you say? Right, this is subjective, right?
But he's already in the league. You already have your time in with him,
and he costs $40 million more. So if they kind of look like the same player, he doesn't have the injuries. What I'm worried about Daniel Jones is his price tag and his availability. That's what I'm concerned with. Listen, how many guys do you want to sign up long term with a neck injury and an ACL? He hasn't been able to answer the bell how many times? So that's what I'm concerned with. So listen, I believe in Daniel Jones as well. I just don't believe in Daniel Jones here long term. Like he's going to be a guy, in my opinion, Daniel Jones, like a Ryan Tannehill that goes somewhere else and his second act is better than his first act because he's going to be put in a better situation.
Yeah. Right?
A better supporting cast, somebody who's already built up the team.
But how old is Daniel Jones?
Daniel Jones is probably, 29 probably?
No.
27?
No.
26?
Yes.
Okay, well, 26.
I mean, he will be 27 when the season starts, but he's 26 years old.
Yeah, but
you're not talking about a guy that is like 30 and it's like there's nothing left and you got to move on or you've already given enough time. I don't think you've given him enough time.
He's an old, but
he's not an old 26.
He is. He's an old beat up 26.
Why is he beat up?
Because he's on a team that can't protect him.
Thank you.
Right. So this team
is
going to be
this is the problem. This is the chicken and egg. You can't get a quarterback because you don't have an offensive line. But you need an offensive line to get the quarterback, but you get rid of the quarterback when you're trying to build an offensive line. Like, figure it out. This guy's a good quarterback.
Listen, he played with Andrew Thomas when Andrew Thomas wasn't solidified, right? He played with Evan Neal when Evan Neal isn't solidified. And, you know, he played with Smits where he's getting good. He's getting better. But what I'm saying is, if you start over with a guy that's probably the same in the same spot as where Daniel Jones was coming out of college, then what I'm saying is, this guy is going to get a surefire great left tackle.
But how do you know whoever you get at number 6 is as good as the potential of Daniel Jones is?
This is the same thing that Chicago is weighing
now. Yeah, you're right, and that's Chicago's not easy. And it's not easy. By the way, have you seen? Justin Fields to Atlanta starting to become a thing?
No,
that's another thing that you've pointed out. But that's the whispers are starting to get louder and louder about him ending up in Atlanta, going home.
And it may happen. It may happen sooner than later.
But that's not easy. Again, Ryan Poles, that's not easy for Chicago. That's not an easy thing to do. But, what do we have in Justin Fields versus the unknown potential in Caleb Williams. And then how about, oh, my God, would you pass on Caleb Williams?
But what are we talking about, right? Right. Like
Patrick but the Giants Mahomes, don't have a Caleb Williams at their availability at six, though.
Right. But Patrick Mahomes was able, and the Kansas City Chiefs able to walk away from Tyreek Hill because they had won the championship. Right. So they didn't look to reset at a position or like with Chicago, they have to play the odds. And the odds are that, hey, this guy is a good quarterback and he also gives us so much financial freedom because in a year or so, you'll be having to pay, you know, Fields $50 million. If he has a good season, you got to pay him $50 million. If he has a good year like Daniel Jones, bet on himself, you got to pay him $50 million. And because Dak and Tua may take it to $60 million.
But you keep waiting. Like I find this to be the most maddening thing about the NFL. This drives me crazy. It really does. Is that every time you have a young quarterback, you have to throw them away if they aren't great by year three. They got to toss them in the trash because I can't afford to have to pay you if I don't. Because you haven't done it yet. You have 3 years to get it right as a young quarterback, or it's time to move on. Because, look at all these teams that are doing that.
Because it's a cap sport. It's not like basketball.
But you don't think that there's something wrong with that? There's come on, Bart.
Listen.
You got 3 years to show me something, or I got to get rid of you.
That's not true. Jordan Love had four.
Jordan Love didn't play.
Right. He had four.
But he didn't play.
Right, because the team had a quarterback and it was structured correctly. Now, a guy like Fields.
No,
like
Hang on a second. Go back to the draft. That had the last quarterback draft that we had, allegedly. Trevor Lawrence was number one. Right? You remember that draft, right?
I do.
How many quarterbacks are still with their team?
None.
Isn't that crazy? Mac Jones, he's not coming back.
None.
Justin Fields won't be with his team. Trey Lance already gone. Zach Wilson's going to be gone.
I understand that.
You did hear that part too, right? That Zach Wilson, they were told they can go ahead and
he can
seek a trade. Right? Okay.
Yes.
I want to make sure you saw that. But like, do you see what I'm saying?
I do.
These guys have no shelf life. These are quarterback drafts, and you're hoping you hit the lottery. And if in 3 years you don't, guess what you're doing? You're trying to do it again.
That's because the quarterback on he demands so much money.
Here's what I mean. Why do I have to give you $50 million if I don't think you're worth $50 million? Who's giving it to you? Why do I have to give you 50? You haven't proven a damn thing yet.
Well, somebody would give Justin Fields.
Somebody?
Somebody would give
it to him. God bless him then.
That's why they're trading for him, because somebody would give it to him. Just like, does Dak Prescott deserve to make $60 million a year?
No.
After what you just saw?
No, he shouldn't.
But is he going to get $60 million a year?
But who? Who's got the cap space to do that?
Because if not him, then who?
Who's got the cap space to do that?
Well, they just added $30 million more to the salary cap.
Great. So again, a bad team that doesn't have a quarterback is going to give him the money. God bless him. You want to go there instead of here where you have a chance to win something big?
Guess what? The 49ers were so far over the cap. When they announced that it's $30 million more, they're under the cap. So we ain't got to worry about breaking that team up because now they're under the cap.
Let's grab some calls. 800-919-3776. Frank's in the Bronx. Go ahead, Frank.
Hey there, so you guys talk about cap space. You really think Justin Fields is worth $50 million?
No.
No, but they don't have to give him $50 million for 2 years. They don't have to. This the problem, here's right? Here's the problem. Do you want to be the team? Because they could have traded Justin Fields last year after he rushed for over 1,000 yards.
Yeah.
They could have traded him for a number two, right?
Yeah.
And they would have had C.J. Stroud. Do you think that team would be better with C.J. Stroud? They can't be the team that passed on C.J. Stroud, Caleb Williams, and Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah,
it's a bad look for the organization. So it's just that where they find themselves. Any other team might say, you know what, I'll get a haul. But they can't do that.
But can I talk about my love for I'm a Jet fan and I'm an Ohio State fan. And when we passed up on Justin Fields a few years ago, I was so aggravated.
Zach Wilson.
I was stuck with this guy.
Well, you're not stuck with Zach Wilson. He's gone. You're not stuck with him.
I know that. But – well, we're dealing with the aftermath, and we still don't have a backup quarterback, and we still have no future. And I know the winning today, but, you know, one more calf injury to Vinny Testaverde, to, you know, Aaron Rodgers, that's our history, and we're done. So why can't the Jets get into Justin Fields?
Because, like, what are you going to do? Get him and tell him he's a backup?
Yes. Yeah.
For 2 years?
Yes. So I would do that. Yes.
Hold on.
I would have him sit with Aaron Rodgers and learn. Yes, 100%.
Yes.
And tell him you are the heir apparent and you will take and you have now pressure off you to take the time to get right.
So he's the heir apparent.
Yeah.
No, he's the
That's
heir
what
apparent.
I would do.
He's the heir apparent and then he's going to sit for 2 years. You're going to pay him
How do I know he's going to
$15 million. You remember he was drafted, correct?
Hey, I do. Who cares
what
he's
You
drafted.
Can't afford to pay him. So how you going to get the line to protect Aaron Rodgers if you got somebody that's sitting on the bench that you're going
to
pay
$20
million?
First of all, Bart, he'd have to be in. He'd have to be like, I want to do that. I want to do that. That's best for my future.
How you going to do that? So then say Aaron Rodgers say he wants
to
play
he'll be happy going
years.
To Atlanta. You're right. He'll be happy. But look, if this is a fantasy world, that's the fantasy world I'm looking for.
There's no way in hell.
I know there's no way in hell.
So that don't even make sense.
It does to me. Makes a lot of sense to me.
He makes like $18 million. So you're going to be paying $18 million to somebody that's going to sit for 2 years.
You understand, you're going to pay somebody a lot of money to not play quarterback next year.
Not $36 million in 2 years.
I don't know.
And then not even, he's not even going to play in the offense.
I don't think it's going to be that cheap, man. You're going to have to pay somebody.
It's going to be 8 to 10. That's different.
We'll see. Tony in Middletown. Tony.
Yeah, with Daniel Jones, I mean, I've never seen a quarterback get so many excuses pushed out there for him, you know what I mean? Like they say, you know, the old quote, this is not the whole quote, but monuments or excuses build monuments of nothing. And that's all we've pretty much gotten from Daniel Jones. His best year,
really?
He threw, 15 touchdown passes?
You got nothing?
We made the playoffs? You
forgot that part. That part, Tony, is really important. Made the playoffs, won a playoff game. And
come on, great. We won a playoff game.
Oh my God! How many do you Tony? How many playoff wins do you have in the last decade?
The G-men ain't out there to win no one playoff game.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are.
Jet fans can be happy with a playoff win,
man.
But
okay.
We ain't happy,
Tony.
With no
how
playoff
many playoff
win,
wins do you have in 10 years? How many? The same amount.
How
many?
We got chips. That's what we got. Okay, we got chips.
You have chips.
So
you don't have chips for to 12
with a
years.
Quarterback touchdown throwing 15.
Tony, you're crazy. Tony, you're crazy.
Tony, here's the reality.
You're crazy, man.
Tony, here's the reality.
The guy played great down the stretch.
The guy can't
in
even
a
read
playoff
a defense.
Win.
Tony, here's
can't
the reality.
Read a defense.
Well, listen, he's not been put in the best situation. You know, we all agree that if he played for Philadelphia,
you guys act like this guy's a bum.
We all agree if he
watch
played for Philadelphia.
Watch the tape. He can't even do pre snap read.
Tony, we all agree.
What the hell is that?
When you got single coverage and no safety over top, we don't even go to the guy.
You're right.
Tony,
Daniel Jones has no idea.
Tony,
he doesn't.
Tony,
he doesn't have a clue.
Well, hey, that's what it looks like. It looks like he has no idea.
No, it doesn't
Tony,
to me.
Take a breath, Tony.
It looks like he has no offensive line.
It's the power out there.
Tony, who is he throwing to? That's the issue.
Come on.
Tony, listen.
Here we go with Isaiah Hodgkins is like 1A now. Here we go.
Tony. He's not on Patrick Mahomes' level, but Patrick Mahomes got all the receivers that he threw away.
It's a lot of people.
Tony's comparing him now to the best quarterback in the league.
Listen, Tony.
The Giants threw away all our receivers. And guess who got him? Guess who got him?
Tony, you have to let me talk. Tony, you have to let me talk so we can have a conversation.
Tony's in the powwow. I love this.
Tony, the problem is environment matters. If he would have went anywhere outside of the Giants who's been trying to fix their offensive line and Saquon Barkley not being healthy and them not having – them missing on Kenny Galladay, that set the organization back tremendously. So do we know what he is? Maybe, but maybe not. Right, and I compare it to like the early Ryan Tannehill days in Miami. He was just in an unwinnable situation, and when he went to Tennessee, he was an MVP candidate. And I see a lot of similarities: the mobility. I see like the arm strength. He is athletic, but my concern is Tony. The reason why he won't be here after this year, because they can't get rid of him now because he costs too much money. Because it was so much pressure from everybody that they had to pay him, because once he won a playoff game, you had to pay him. You couldn't not pay him. It would have been great if they would have picked up his option. Then they would have saw him get hurt last year. Then you wouldn't be having that problem because he would have been gone. But now you have to think about the future, and I'm with you. You have to move on from Daniel Jones simply because I'm concerned a quarterback that gets hit a lot, a quarterback that uses a lot of his athleticism to run the football – I'm concerned with him having neck injuries and now a knee injury. So that's why I think you have to move on for him. Not because he can't play. It's because environment matters. And right now, this is the bad environment to cultivate and continue to develop Daniel Jones, even if he is young. Like I tell people before, Steve Young was not drafted by the 49ers. Brett Favre was not drafted by the 49ers. So just because Justin Fields is leaving, just because Daniel Jones would be gone, doesn't mean they can't resurrect their career and have a great career, maybe even a Hall of Fame caliber career. But sometimes it's time to move on, and it's best for both people. And I think going forward, that's going to be the case with Daniel Darnold.
All right, we got audio files coming up. Stay with us. Barton Hahn, 98.7 ESPN.
Gordon Damer at the 98.7 Tullamore Dew Sports Desk. Well, it is mock draft season for NFL fans, so that means it's time for Mel Kiper Jr., his first mock draft of the year. He has the Jets at 10, selecting Georgia tight end Brock Bowers. Earlier this morning, he was on with DiPietro and Rothenberg to kind of explain how he came up with that.
In terms of the Jets, I tried to get an offensive lineman. I moved J.C. Latham from Alabama up to that fifth spot because he's red hot right now. I have Joe Walt going to Tennessee. They could take a receiver. They could take a Nabers Odunze. That would push Alt down. Couldn't do that here. Olu Fashanu from Penn State. Yeah, it's a mixed opinion. I gave him to the Jets in the first mock. I didn't hear. We'll see how that goes.
And that is brought to you by Tullamore Dew, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cast matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew Honey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. Coming up at 3 o'clock, it's the Michael K. Show, and it's only here on 98.7 FM.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Thought this would be a fitting way to just remember we lost a great New Yorker, a funny, funny man, a diehard Knicks fan yesterday, and Richard Lewis passed away at 76 years old. He had a heart attack, I believe. You see him at the Garden. He'd be at the Garden constantly. When you go out to L.A., when the Knicks play out there, he's there. Yeah, big, just hilarious.
Yeah, enthusiasm.
Yep. I mean, oh, he and Larry David, the two of them together are just gold. But this song, the reason why I asked Jacob to play this song is because there's long been this rumor that Billy Joel wrote that song, and in it is, you know, the line you just heard there is, you know, had a friend, we used to be real close, he said, closed the shop, sold the house, bought a ticket to the West Coast. Now he gives them the stand-up routine in L.A. And a lot of people thought, is he writing about Richard Lewis? Because, again, Brooklyn guy who ended up out in L.A. and you know, obviously went on to great fame and fortune and everything else. Richard Lewis has always downplayed that. Said, no, it's not about me. But, and Billy Joel's even said the song is just about people and transitions in their lives and everything else. But still, it's like too close. Like, it's too... Like, it was too fitting, too close. And, you know, a lot of times, anytime you've heard that song, you've always thought about, like, that cool story of, you know, the Brooklyn kid who made it big, right? Mm-hmm. And so, again, just he loved the Mets. Like, just a great sports fan, funny, funny man, sweetheart of a person, too. And we lost him yesterday, so I just thought one way we could do that, just take a minute and just have some fun. Because, you know, again, people like him, they don't like to be mourned, you know? Like, this. Just laugh, tell a joke, you know, stuff like that. But anyways.
Had classic hair, man.
Oh, my God. Right?
Larry David got classic hair, too.
Like, well, he's got the horseshoe thing going now.
You know what I'm saying? He
looked, Richard Lewis always had, like, the mullet that wasn't really a mullet.
Yeah, it was,
looked, he had, like, rock star hair, but, like, yeah. he didn't overdo it. Like, I don't know.
Who's the cat off Kiss? Like, he had that type of hair.
Gene Simmons?
No, not Gene Simmons, oh, the other one.
Oh,
with
Paul,
the star.
Was it Paul Stanley?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah, it's still just that news yesterday kind of, because he loves the Knicks. And just, you know, wasn't able to in his older life see them win a championship, but always held out hope that they would. All right, so right now we got calls to get to at 800-919-3776, but it is time for us to step aside and let the headline makers do the talking in the segment we like to call
Audio Files.
The Audio Files.
Audio files we go to. You know, Bart, whenever people talk about, like, Tom Thibodeau, for instance, and they'll say, you know, oh, the Knicks, you're up by 20. Can't you take this guy out? Why don't you empty the bench? And then Tom Thibodeau just looks, all he has to do is, the other night, Max Strus, in 67 seconds, 12 points, a whole bunch of threes, including one at the buzzer, right? Like, that's all you point to that. Or point to last night. The Clippers were rolling in this game.
I turned it off. I was flying. And I turned
you know what?
It off.
I did too. I did. It was once it got like third quarter, I'm like, no, this game's over. Like, I turned it off because I wanted to see a good Laker-Clipper game, and the Lakers just didn't look up to it. They didn't look like they were up for the task, and the Clippers are going to own them again. And then LeBron happened, and he went berserk late in this game, just started knocking down threes, and then all of a sudden what was a 21-point deficit was suddenly a tight game, and I wish I knew. I had no idea because I slept through the rest of it. And LeBron just hit a bunch of threes and then just dominated the game, just took over.
Yeah.
And the Lakers end up with the win, 116-112. So what was a win for the Clippers suddenly vanished into a loss. And these are the things that keep coaches up. Like Tyronn Lue, it just slips right out of your hands. You can't believe it. LeBron scored or assisted on 11 of the Lakers' 13 baskets in the final quarter. Like, he did everything, 7 threes, all of it. And he was, as he said, in the zone.
I was able to give myself some space and get a couple more looks. You know, so my teammates did a great job of continuing to find me, you know, and then I just try to dictate the tempo, dictate the game, you know, as we started making a run for it and getting the game closer and closer and closer. So, you know, just a zone that you can't really describe it. You wish you could stay in it forever, but obviously it checks out, you know, as the game ends. But, you know, during it, you don't feel anything. You just have a superpower, I feel.
He had the glow. I mean, again, this guy's 38, 39 years old. And is just still plays at such a high level when he can.
Yeah.
Like, you can't get it out of him every night now. Yeah. But these moments are still in him. And Darvin Ham said he just got to, you know, every now and then Superman comes out with the cape.
Man, everybody's just pushing him on, cheering him on. You know, he had the tape, the cape tucked on his seat on the bench, I guess. It was time for him to whip it out. And he definitely did that, put the cape on. And just got aggressive and got in a good rhythm. He's been shooting the ball extremely well this whole entire season.
It's still a great – I mean, like I said, Bart, he might not be the best player in the game right now anymore because of the inability to play like that, like, all the time. But he is still – I mean, he top 10 best players in the league still.
Yeah, but just understand.
No, come on. Come on.
I mean, could be. I mean, Luka just put up a triple-double on his 25th birthday.
Yeah, I know.
There's some guys, you know.
Luka also was part of blowing a lead against the Cavs.
No, I get all that. But, so, you know, I love this, like, because this was really an important game for the Lakers, and they were letting it slip away.
Oh yeah,
this was extremely important because they're going through a stretch where they're not going to leave California for about 3 weeks. And they need to stack up as many wins as they can to try and be in the plan where they only have to win one and not two. Let's see how much energy this takes out of LeBron to be able to do this and what he has left, for the play-in, or see what happens there. Because I feel like they're competing, too, with the Golden State Warriors for that not to play in. Because the Golden State Warriors are playing great, and we're going to see them tonight. And we'll see what happens there and what Steph can do, because they've been on a bit of a roll. I think you would think 8 of 11 or 8 of 10. So it's going to be interesting to see, like, what old guy can kind of, see if Steph can one-up the LeBron. But, when you look at the Clippers, I'm not concerned at all. I mean, I hate that they had to get that type of loss. Maybe it wakes them up, and now they play throughout. But they were out Paul George and I forget the other the center that I love. They were out them Zubas. Yeah, mm-hmm. they were without those two guys. So, I mean, I think the Clippers know they see the Lakers. They kicked that ass.
Yeah, 7-game series, I'm not that concerned. But still, it's just talking about moments. Like, it was just a cool moment.
Yeah, it was a great moment.
Yeah, last night.
Now, add to LeBron's legacy.
Speaking of Steph Curry and the Warriors and cool moments, here's a story being told by Juwan Morgan. Now, Juwan Morgan was on the Boston Celtics in 2022. He hasn't played in the league since then. I think he's playing in Russia or something like that. But Juwan Morgan was on a Run Your Race podcast. And he told a story about when they were, again, it was the Celtics, remember, took a 2-1 series lead, right, in the NBA Finals, 2022. And it was during the game, Steph Curry was still trash-talking, even though, like, they were about to lose and be down 2-1 in the Finals. And listen to the story he tells about Steph Curry, and you talk about a guy with some brash confidence.
So we sitting there, and he looked. He just like, enjoy y'all last win.
Drop the mic.
That was game three. And I was just like, like us? Like it's 2-1. Like, what you mean? Like, I'm sitting here like this. I'm like, man, what size am I? Like, yeah. Look, I need my ring size. Yeah, nah. Quiet. It was
bro,
quiet.
He couldn't lose, bro. He couldn't lose that series.
Mm-mm. He said, then I was just like, and like in my head, I'm thinking, like, this kept me up at night. I'm like, did he? I'm like, nah, he ain't say that.
He did. And guess what happened? Mm-hmm. He was right. They went and won the damn series. Like, how crazy is that, though? See, there's levels to this, man. Steph Curry just knew. He's like, all right, you got to get this one. You ain't winning this series. It's just ultimate confidence.
But yeah, see, it's like Jordan when he's holding the bat, smoking a cigar. We're going to take a real man to talk stuff when he's down. You know what I'm saying? I don't see what you were doing. Nah, it's easier to talk when you're up, man. damn, Jeffrey.
Did you see the video of Jordan and Magic? I guess they all got together at All-Star or whatever, and he was just like, I'll beat you right now. Like, he can never let it go.
Like, bro,
let it go.
I want one of the guys that's newly retired. Like, let's go to it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you want that smoke, right? Speaking of
dollars.
Bulls.
Like, damn, why I got to be a million, Mike?
It's always got to be. Speaking of the Chicago Bulls, you know that no Bull tour that's been going on, right, that they're going to do?
It started yet?
Yeah, I don't know. I do know that even Scottie Pippen, though, with all the stuff with him and Michael, he still acknowledges that Michael is the greatest of all time. He won't let that go. At least he'll acknowledge that.
But he talks about the bad shots that he took, and nobody said nothing about the bad shots that he took, and he didn't win until I got there.
Maybe. But Horace Grant discussed things about this tour.
I speak my mind.
Yes, you do.
And it's going to be a no tour. I tell you this. The X Factor in the first three and the second three, I would have kicked Dennis Rodman.
I'd like to have seen that.
Dennis Rodman would have grabbed your balls and squeezed them like Money Mike.
I knew this was coming.
Dennis would have squeezed your balls. Squeeze harder and harder.
So they must be on the tour.
You just thought you was going to take it from the worm, huh? They call me the worm for a reason. I'm hard and slippery.
Clearly already started, and this is what you're going to get when they go around and they talk. So I imagine like somebody probably brought up Rodman and, the impact that Rodman had on the other side. Because remember, Horace Grant ended up with the Orlando Magic, right?
But didn't he lose when Rodman was with the Pistons? So you had a chance to kick his ass, but you didn't.
Well.
Oh, okay. Just saying.
Well, they did beat him after that.
Yeah, but you also lost to Dennis, too, so quit assuming that you're going to kick Dennis' ass.
Well, he just let it be known. That's
Dennis would have rubbed your ass.
Might have.
And dared you to do something about
Might've.
It.
Might have.
Phrasing.
So here's also from First Take yesterday. Mad Dog said something on First Take. They were talking about the New Orleans Pelicans and Jonas Valanciunas, who is a center for the Pelicans. And as he was talking about him, because, you know, he had a trouble saying his name, so then he just went to another way to talk about it. And when he did make this reference that I've made before, he gave credit where credit is due.
But the Pelicans got a lot of players. I mean, got two big offensive players. The kid Murphy can shoot. McCallum didn't even play. Mm-hmm. They can play some defense if they have to.
You like
the Travis Kelce lookalike and Valanciunas. Let's throw him in there, too.
Yep.
And I'll let Wendy take over.
He is the Travis Kelce lookalike. They're a brother. They look exactly like.
And Alan Hahn said that.
It wasn't Taylor Swift who said it?
No, it was Hahn who said it. So I don't want to steal
their parents together, and we got to investigate that tree. They look like straight brothers. It's unbelievable how they look alike.
How about Russo giving some credit? So on the MSG broadcast, while he was at the free throw line, I was calling the game with Mike Breen on Tuesday night, and I said to Mike, "Doesn't he look like Travis Kelce?" And Mike agreed. And then we just talked about how like Valanciunas is, you know, like 6'11", and a really nimble athlete. I'm like, can you imagine him as a tight end? So we were discussing it. So Mad Dog must have been watching the game, and so he brings it up, and he couldn't say Valanciunas' name. So then he just called
Nobody
him Travis Kelce lookalike. Yeah, it was too funny to get into the Travis Kelce part of it. But I love the fact that he did at least, you know, give credit where credit is due. Now, I think it was Trey Murphy was the one who, when the Super Bowl, right, he had the IG Live where he put it on Valanciunas and said, "You won the Super Bowl." It was, you know, so it all starts obviously from that, but still, it's pretty cool. Nice of Mad Dog to do that, right?
You know, transferring love. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. That's my guy. All right, anyway, and that is Audio Files. 800-919-3776 is the number. We'll get back to your calls. We'll get into some, speaking of NBA and all that stuff that we just did here, we'll get into more of the NBA stuff. The Knicks, the latest on the injury update, Jalen Brunson, as they play tonight against the Golden State Warriors. So more to get to. Stay with us. Barton Hahn, 98.7 ESPN.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Hahn Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Bart and Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, 98.7 ESPN. All right, hour number three will be coming up, the Power Hour. We'll get into the Knicks, the latest in the injury report that was just dropped, the most recent one. One name still on it for the Knicks, one name no longer on it. Which of them? I'll let you know. That's coming up momentarily. Bart, I did want to update some things, though, that we discussed earlier today. As again, this is February 29th, so we get one extra day in the month of February. It's Leap Day. Also gives you one extra day of Black History Month. So we had been discussing some Black history, right? And then you were telling the story of the real McCoy and where that came from. And I said to you, was he a black man? You said no.
Hmm.
Elijah McCoy was, in fact, African-American.
What you talking about, Willis?
I'm serious. And so the saying... Real McCoy comes from him. But it wasn't him who did it. It was the products that he had made, and then other companies would also then make it. And then people would say, like, it wouldn't work as well. And they'd say, well, make sure you get a real McCoy. Yeah. He was a Canadian-American engineer of African-American descent.
Learn something new every day.
He invented several different things.
Tell you what, man. You see what happens, man? You come on this show, you get educated. You get cultured. You laugh, you cry, you learn.
I just love how it's the last day and Alan is schooling Bart on Black history.
Right. I'm
so fascinated with this. I really am. We should have made this the thing like every day.
But that's what I'm saying.
Why didn't we do this?
It's so much stuff that Black people, like stuff that people don't even realize. Like I think we have something to do with the cell phone too. It's crazy.
Well, I mean, by the time the cell phone came around.
I'm talking about the initial technology for it.
Right.
I think we were responsible.
I mean, stuff that happened in the 1800s, that's pretty remarkable because we all understood that, you know, there was
the difficulty that we were dealing with.
that they were probably ideas that were stolen a lot of times, right? I mean, when we get into the 20th century.
It's like, you know. He's like, what was that? That comedy special
what?
That Chris Rock had when he was like, you know how to read? Like, no, what you talking about? Read that sign, boy. Like, what are you talking about? He's like, read that sign. Can you read that sign coming up? He's like, what are you talking about? That big octagon thing? Negro, who taught you octagon?
Don't remember that.
He tried to act like he couldn't read. He's like, you better not read. He's like, you see the stop sign coming. He's like, if I read this stop sign, he gonna beat me. So he's like, he ran through the dock. He ran through the stop sign and crashed at everybody because he's like,
I'm more enjoying just the thing about Elijah McCoy is the real McCoy phrase that, and earlier I kind of explained, you know, just generally what it meant and where it came from. And then it's funny because the popular expression means the real thing, right? Mm-hmm. Attributed to Elijah McCoy's oil drip cup invention. And one theory is that railroad engineers wanted inferior copies, would request it by name and inquire if a locomotive was fitted with the real McCoy system. This theory is mentioned in Elijah McCoy's biography in the National Inventors Hall of Fame. Mm. Pretty cool, right?
Yeah, man.
Like, you know, like these phrases that you say every day in life and you don't know where they came from.
And it becomes a part of like folklore because our parents use it and we use it and we don't know where it came from.
Imagine like a good old boy somewhere. It was all about, you know, we don't want none of this. We want the real McCoy. Like, you know where that phrase came from, Jeb?
You're like Jeb, that black, he's blacker than that black oil that drip you're using right there.
Imagine this.
He's darker than that drip.
Imagine just the absolute, like, he just aghast when you tell him where that phrase, your favorite phrase, you know
y'all
where that came
from? Y'all want to see my face? Y'all want to see my face? Yeah.
That's just great. Woo! See, there you go. So you get an extra day of Black History Month, and with it, we're learning things, which is what we should be doing. All right, let's find out what name is still on the injured list for the Knicks and what name is no longer on it, as tonight they take on Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors. The Power Hour coming up next. Stay with us. Barton Hahn, 98.7 ESPN.
Gordon Damer at the 98.7 Tullamore Dew Sports Desk. So yesterday we got to hear from Joe Douglas at the Scouting Combine. Clearly Joe Douglas has a lot to do this offseason to fix the needs of the Jets. But of the things he said yesterday, Don, yesterday on the K-Show, was not too pleased.
Here is a moment. We're at the combine. All the general managers are speaking. Then why can't you just be honest? Well, everybody knows it. Everybody knows it. They have to be hell-bent on the playoffs. Wouldn't you as a Jet fan feel good if your general manager said, we're hell-bent on making the playoffs. We must make the playoffs. The edict in the building is we are going to make the playoffs. Maybe it doesn't mean anything.
And that's brought to you by Tullamore Dew, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cast matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew honey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. Coming up at 3 o'clock, it's the Michael Kay Show, and it's only here on 98.7 FM.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Hahn Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.